From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. For nearly 30 years, the cabin has served as a literary hub, bringing people together through story. And as the nonprofit's community of writers, students, and book lovers has grown, so too has their need for more space, which is why they have launched a campaign to help renovate the historic building. So joining us today to talk more about this effort is Kurt Zwolfer, Executive Director of the Cabin Center for Readers and Writers. Kurt, nice to have you on the program.
Thanks for hosting me today, Gemma.
So, Kurt, for many, the cabin is really just such an iconic part of Boise, but there are people that may not know who you are. So can you tell us a bit more about your organization?
Sure. Well, maybe first, would you like to hear about the building itself, and then I'll talk about the organization second. So the building itself, when people say the cabin, you know, might have a picture of a cabin in McCall, but this cabin is right here in Boise, and it's right along the river, and probably anyone who's lived in Boise for years has passed it many times. We're right next to the main public branch of the library, and the building is so iconic because it's been here for such a long time. It was actually built in the 1940s, and so you have to kind of, in your head, go back in time. There was no green belts, there was no Anne Frank Memorial, even the library wasn't here at that time. And it was built by a forester, an Idaho forester named Frank Garrard, who was in charge of the Department of Lands, Idaho Department of Forestry. And he really wanted an iconic building to help show the importance of lumber in Idaho. But the state wouldn't build him the building he wanted to do. So he kind of went off rogue on his own to get the building built. Since he didn't have any money at all, he looked for partners. And so he went to all the lumber companies in the state. There were many at that time because lumber was such an important industry to Idaho's growth. And he got them to donate materials and the architectural know-how to build the building. Then he went to the federal government and employed the Civilian Conservation Corps, the CCC, to do all the important work to actually build the building. And then last but not least, he went after the land. And this area right next to the library is actually part of Julia Davis Park. But it doesn't seem like it's next to Julia Davis Park because the Capitol Bridge, when they built that road, severed the tiny little corner of it off. And so since it was kind of an orphan piece of the park, Frank went to the city and convinced the city to donate this little corner of land, even though it was city parkland, to the state to build the building. And that's how the iconic building got built. People remember it as, who's been here for a long time, as a forestry building for years and years and years. State foresters worked here, but eventually they outgrew the building as the state resources grew. And by 1990, the building was in bad state of disrepair and they had to abandon it. And when they abandoned it, it went back into the possession of the city. And the city of Boise didn't have the money it does now with all the growth, and they didn't know quite what to do with it. And there was even a rumor that they were going to tear it down back in 1990. And that's where my art group steps in. So there was a group of writers called the Snake River Writers Alliance who got wind that the building was possibly going to be torn down. And this group was led by a man named Alan Minskoff, who's still a professor over at College of Idaho, a professor of journalism. And they went to the city with a bold proposal. They said, hey, if we raise the money to renovate this building, to get it back to its original luster, its original iconic status, can we have a long-term lease to house an art group here? The city thought, what do we have to lose? They went for it, and the artists were able actually to raise the money, and that's where the Cabin Center for Readers and Writers was born. And so we came about in 1996. Originally, it was more like a writer's clubhouse. Local writers came here to read, to write. But eventually, it grew and it grew and it grew into what we have today, a multi-pronged art organization that has tons of programs for readers and writers and learners of all ages.
So, Kurt, tell me, how many people can the cabin currently accommodate? Like, let's say when you have an event or something like that.
So the building is actually kind of misleading when it comes to size. People look at it and they think, oh, I think when they have in their mind a cabin, they don't think it's actually very big. But there's actually, believe it or not, there's a basement and there's also an attic. There's about 6,000 square feet in this building, which is immense. And right now, the organization has finished about half of that space. And so event-wise, we don't do our bigger events here, but we do many, many classes here. And right now, we have one full classroom that can accommodate about 15 to 20 people, and then another classroom that's completely unfinished that we can have about 10 in. We used to have an ability to do readings outside, but as the Anne Frank Memorial grew, we kind of lost that area outside. So right now, we don't have the capacity to do all that much programming on site. Hopefully, though, after the renovation, we can expand that. We're going to turn one classroom into three classrooms so that we can have three programs going simultaneously. We're going to abandon that parking lot that's on the side of the cabin that's next to mm-hmm. the library so we can build an outdoor programming space that we can do programs for up to 150 people for local writers' receptions and local writers' readings. So we're really going to expand the amount of programming space on site yeah. here at the cabin.
So with that said, Kurt, I mean, you know, we talk about how much, you know, the Treasure Valley has grown over the last, you know, 20, 30 years. So with that said, what kind of increase in demand has the cabin experienced?
It's actually been huge. You know, as the Valley grows and new people discover the beautiful things in the Treasure Valley. As everyone knows, we've had tons and tons of people who have moved here. And those people want to experience the same things that people here have experienced for years and years. And one of them is the art scene. And we have a fantastic art scene in Boise and in the rest of the Valley. And our programs have always been in demand. But as the population has grown in the last 5 to 10 years, the demand for the programs have sometimes outstripped our ability to actually serve everyone. So one of our bigger programs, Readings and Conversations, for instance, that's a lecture program where we bring in famous artists to speak at the Egyptian mm-hmm. at the Morrison Center. We've been selling out completely tickets there. We do a summer camp program all through the summer. We do two summer camps in the morning and the afternoon for kids to learn the joy of reading and writing. And those have been selling out completely by the beginning of the summer. And so we want to expand our programs to match the expansion of the Valley, but to do that, we're going to need more resources, and the resource we need more than anything else is space.
Well, I want to go back to what you said about this outdoor space. Is it going to be kind of an amphitheater of sorts? And talk to us a little bit about, you know, about this, because I can absolutely imagine that parking lot, and I'm kind of thinking, wow, that is a really, that could be just such a neat space for another outside venue that you are hoping to have.
Sure. It is actually, it's not a space most people think about because they don't think one way or another about parking lots right now.
Right.
But it really is the perfect space for programming. And so it's on the north side of the building, and people who've been in the library parking lot have probably seen the little expansion of the parking lot that goes in front of the cabin, but it doesn't actually hold many spots right now. And so we sat down with the Wasmuth Center and with the library, and we were thinking about this, and we kind of hatched this plan for this beautiful outdoor park-like space that all the players on the campus, the Wasmuth Center, the library, and the cabin can use for outdoor programming. There's beautiful mature trees that we're going to keep in place. We're really just going to take out the pavement. We're going to add a nice grassy area to sit along with benches and then a raised stage with amplification and sound. And that can be used for almost anything. All our kids programs have readings where they invite their family and friends to come and experience their programs. That can happen at the outside pavilion. When we have local authors who publish work and want to read to the public, we're hoping that can happen at the outside pavilion. And then when some of those big authors visit Boise for the first time, we might be able to do receptions out there. So we think it'll be a wonderful space, not only for the cabin, but for the cultural community all around us. It's possible even with Tree Fort across the way in Julia Davis Park, that they'll want to use it for the Tree Fort Festival.
So let's talk money, because, you know, you can't build this for free. How much are you hoping to raise through your campaign?
Sure. Yeah. To get it done, we need help from the community. And the whole project has a $2 million price tag. But the good news is the community has already stepped up in a really big way, Gemma. We're at $1.3 million right now, which is fantastic. We've been at it about 7 or 8 months, and people have shown the support for the cabin and the programs we do. But we still have a ways to go to reach our goal. We're hoping to start the renovation in the fall. And so we're trying to get people excited and let them know about the program. So if the cabin is something they support, if reading and writing in the community is something they support, hopefully they'll donate to this project to help us get it done. Mm-hmm.
And if you can start the renovations in the fall, Kurt, how long are you thinking it will take before everything is ready to go?
Well, you know, it's a smaller project than a lot of the other big building projects that are going on around the valley. So it's renovation rather than original construction. So we're crossing our fingers that if we get it started by the fall, that we'll have it done by the beginning of next summer when our camp season begins again. So we're hoping maybe 6 to 8 months to get it done. That all depends on construction schedules, though, in the valley.
So, you know, why is programming that you do at the cabin so incredibly important? And not just the fact that you bring in these authors and all of that, but I mean, you know, both my kids have done camps with the cabin, and it's, there is just something about it, as you said, right? Reading and writing and all of the things that you do within the arts scene.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't want to brag about my the cabin's art form versus visual arts or performing arts, but literary arts has something special about it. It really does. And, you know, certainly exposing both adults and kids to reading and writing helps them professionally. To be able to work in today's modern age, you need to be a fluent reader and you need to be a fluent writer. And so we can help contribute to that. But at the core of what we do, I really think literary arts is narrative. It's about storytelling. And there's something, Gemma, inherently human about storytelling. It's how movies work. It's how we, when we're sitting at the coffee shop with our friends, we describe the day to one another. We put it into a narrative structure and we tell each other stories. And stories are extremely powerful. In today's day and age where we have so much discord between different groups, where there's one group on one side and there's one group on the other side, and we always seem to be fighting and not understanding each other, it's storytelling and narrative that can be one of the ways that can bring us together. When you read a book, when you read a piece of fiction, you are actually experiencing the author's voice in your head. You have a storyteller in your head. And when you have that kind of storyteller in your head, you're experiencing the world through someone else's eyes. And that can be a big deal. It can help expand your outlook. It can give you empathy for people in situations that you normally wouldn't understand or come across. And you don't necessarily have to agree with the author or agree with a book's premise, but it can help you understand and at least consider other points of view. And so, yes, reading and writing is important for the professional world. It's important for entertainment. It's definitely something we all enjoy. But I actually believe it has a bigger purpose than that. And it can really help us bring us together, which is really important in today's day and age.
Kurt, I literally have less than 1 minute left with you. Quickly tell us about the open house you have coming up this weekend.
Yeah, sure. So if you want to learn more about it, you want to walk, maybe you've never even walked through the building, you want to learn more about our programs, we've got two open houses coming up. One this Thursday, July 25th, and one August 22nd from 5 to 7 p.m. You don't have to sign up or anything. Just show up at the cabin, drive up into the library parking lot, and we'll take you around and tell you more about the project.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking with us today about this. We've been talking with Kurt Zwolfer. He is the executive director of the Cabin Center for Readers and Writers, talking about the nonprofit's need for more space and how our community can help with that. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Here at Shortwave Space Camp, we escape our everyday lives to explore the mysteries and quirks of the universe. We find weird, fun, interesting stories that explain how the cosmos is partying all around us. From stars to dwarf planets to black holes and beyond, we've got you. Listen now to the Shortwave podcast from NPR.